Chair Riley? Thank you.
You be careful.
I'm back. Thank you, Linda. I guess you have received a lot of information about blue crab really since probably with the Blue Crab Regulatory Review Committee, and which met through 2007 and then all the way through 2008. So a lot of the information I know you're very aware of from having lived through it last year. And it is just a request for a public hearing, but there are a few things that I think would help for next month when a decision will be made on 2009's fishery based on the results that we certainly expect either early April or at least before your meeting. I think last year it was right around April 15th. And in your packet, I've gone through in several pages and outlined all the measures of 2008. And that follows through the first couple of pages of the evaluation. And the target reduction, 34%, was met. We still have some delinquent data that comes in, but it's about a 37% reduction in the harvest of female crabs from the Chesapeake area. So that's the main stem, its tributaries to Virginia from the Potomac. At the same time, you may have heard, and we certainly heard at the Crab Management Advisory Committee, that regulations haven't done this all. There are market forces. If you kept up at all with this past spring into early summer, we had lots of reports of crabs being dumped, no markets. Does that repeat itself in 2009? Hard to say. Will the labor pool be the same in 2009, the HTV pool that it was in 2008? Probably not. There are other factors. Then there's the environmental factors, the fact that each year the crab stock is dependent on the number of larvae that are evicted back into the bay. And then from there, there is a fishery as well. And here what I'm showing you as a reminder, as we head into the result periods from the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey, is what you looked at last year. And 2008 was 120 million crabs. And I think a question that I'll ask a couple of times is, how should the reaction be to something different than 120? But since we don't know at this point, staff has proceeded all along with the Crab Management Advisory Committee with a conservationally neutral or a status quo system to 2008, a 34% reduction, because we don't have results yet. And then if you look very quickly, you can see the last time that the abundance of these, what are called age 1 plus crabs, but are really crabs that will recruit into the peeler and into the hard pot fishery as it moves through summer through fall, was almost 200 million crabs, not quite. And that's the interim target. We based a lot of emphasis on 3 years of an interim target being maintained for both those on the waiting list and to reinstate the five crab pot recreational license. If you look at the harvest, you know from a few years that they've been very low. Here's the 2007 data point. The 2008 data point, should be somewhere down here. For our Chesapeake area, it's about 16.8 million pounds of crabs total so far. And if you recall, we started out with a total of just females of 16.7 million pounds. So with the males included, it's going to be a low harvest for 2008. Maryland has had different ways of estimating it. We haven't seen the final number yet. I'm sure that will be available as well. And the Potomac River Fisheries Commission had about a 24% decrease, I think, in their harvest of females. So up here you see a couple things. Matter of fact, you see something repeated maybe. The harvest is a product of whatever the exploitation rate is and whatever the average abundance is. So that abundance from last year's survey, 2007 December through March of 2008, and the harvest in 2008 is going to determine what the exploitation rate is. And I say exploitation rate because everyone has been saying the 34% reduction, but there's a reason for the 34% reduction. The reason for the 34% reduction was to bring the exploitation rate down to the target level of 46%. And that's something that's going to have to be considered because maybe it will be 140 million crabs, maybe it'll be 120, 160, no one knows. But it's the exploitation rate is the whole premise for having a 34% reduction. This is just to show you past performance with the age one, and you can see certainly after 1993, pretty much in decline, and the low point 2008. You can see that the harvest seems to respond as well overall. And again, this is going not be finalized, but it's going to be, you know, perhaps the lowest harvest in 2008. But they're all at play. It's not just the harvest, it's also the exploitation rate, and it's also the starting abundance that you have in the stock that determines that harvest. This is something I'll show again next month, and it's work by Lynn Fegley, and really she did some innovative things, but the easiest thing to explain is that she looked at 1998 to 2006 data. She found out that the average harvest was 52 million, and at that time, the average number of age one crabs was 149 million. But of course, that encompasses quite a period of time there. You've got 9 years to make that average. And the range of harvest around that abundance was 49 to 62 million pounds. This is all baywide. So the reason for showing this is to give you a sort of piece of information now that staff needs to assist you in interpreting the significance of the not only the abundance but the exploitation rate. This is just to let you know what's in your packet. There is a plan, as you know, and actually where we started was 16.3 million pounds of females to make the 34% reduction from that. This is something from CMAQ, and all along there have been clamorings for a change in the pot limits. The regulation right now is situated so that there's a 30% reduction in the 2007 pot limits for both the crab pot and the peeler pot. And at the most recent CMAQ meeting, but there have been also discussions before that, there's some reasons they give as to why that pot limit might need to be raised back to the 2008 level, which was a 15% reduction. Some of those are just competition with other states. Others are they viewed the pot limit differently when they thought there was going to be a pot tagging system. And, you know, some members thought that would lead to the ability to transfer pots and build their rigs. So those are legitimate reasons. However, staff, at least the way we're looking at it, is it was a step forward to have the pot reductions. There's been nothing about, no talk other than overcapacity in this fishery. The waiting list didn't really remove capacity in the fishery. It removed dormant licenses. And if you really think about it, from the Regulatory Review Committee until present, I think anyone would still say that there's overcapacity. So staff, at least, does not think that reestablishing the 2008 pot limits would be a wise move at this time. Agent culpability, this is something that CMAQ talked about on a number of occasions, and they, and as well as staff, would like to see the agents held responsible for their actions, because right now the way it stands, an agent could have multiple infractions, violations, and it really wouldn't come to any effect. It doesn't come back to the licensee. The agent gets the summons. The agent may get the ticket, but that wouldn't prevent him from going forward and still going out and committing another violation. So CMAQ has recommended, and staff agrees, a system of agent culpability where any agent who's convicted of two blue crab conservation violations in a 12-month period will forfeit his eligibility to act as an agent for at least a minimum of 1 year. In addition, the two violations by the agent will make it necessary for the licensee to appear before the commission, just like that licensee does now for his own two violations that you adopted last year. So staff is interested in that as well as CMAQ. The regulation 270 that you passed earlier did allow the sunsetting of the closed season, but that doesn't mean that staff hasn't worked all along through CMAQ indicating that closed season still may be needed depending on the baywide survey results, as well as bushel limits or a combination of them. And so at least it's going to be our recommendation to establish those types of provisions as measures for the April 2009 public hearing. Bushel limits, last year, if you listen to staff, there was not a good message from us on bushel limits. The reason is that we saw it as a system where it only benefited or actually hindered a small minority and could benefit a majority, because the bushel limits could be set so that a lot of those below that bushel limit would recoup whatever the ones who had been the better or full-time crabbers had taken previously. However, what we're offering now is a little different. We're offering bushel limits by pot category, and here are the pot categories for 2009. Each pot category would have a separate bushel limit. This may seem cumbersome. Staff certainly knows that law enforcement in the past has not really supported bushel limits, quotas, anything of that nature, just because they are rigorous to enforce. But staff thinks it could work with law enforcement to make those work if they're necessary. And I think that's the big key. When we met with CMAQ, I think the first couple of meetings, the opinion of some CMAQ members was that, well, why are you bringing this up now? October is a long way away because the closed season was October 27th. Well, the whole purpose of bringing them up early was you can have bushel limits that extend from May 1 till the end of the year. You can have bushel limits in the summer. You can have bushel limits in the fall. You can combine those bushel limits with other types of closures. And I think I just told you about the situation with law enforcement. On a minimum scale, with striped bass, we have situations where it's fairly easy to monitor different fisheries. It took a few years, and getting rid of transit permits to be able to do that. I mean, we would work hard with law enforcement if it's necessary to for the commission to establish bushel limits. So the staff recommends the commission advertise really two items. One would be the establishment of bushel limits and fall season closures, as well as any combination of bushel limits and closed season dates, for example, from May 1 through November 30th. And in addition, staff is asking to advertise the licensee and agent culpability that was outlined for you, and those are our two items.
Questions, Rob?
Mr.
Tankard?
I have my question is with regard to your, the culpability you mentioned, and it seems as though, you know, one of the goals is to, we've done is to limit the number of pots out there. So I don't understand why we even bother to have make it so that a person has two chances at the law as opposed to just one chance. Seems to me that we've heard from Mr. Smith today that we have a 10% group that don't pay attention to the law, that are making the people who do follow the law hurt because they're not following the law. Seems to me we ought to be more stringent and not give people two chances because they don't pay attention to the law unless they've already used up one. So let's get rid of the one and make sure everybody's paying attention.
Well, I mean, that's fine.
Can we advertise that?
I think there's some background for that. I think the background is that everyone is familiar with the three violations within a 12-month period. And then last year the commission adopted a two violation criteria, and I think that's really what was in keeping with that type of recommendation. I think CMAQ really was dedicated to seeing that the agents do face some culpability.
Follow up, Mr. Tankard.
And I understand that logic, but at the same time,
sure.
I don't know why we don't ratchet it up another notch and make sure we're taking care of the people who are taking care of the resource and not taking care of the people who aren't taking care of the resource.
Well, in that case, you would have to advertise for one violation by the agent because you can make it less restrictive versus more restrictive based on what you advertise. So if that's
one or more, is that the idea? Okay.
I've got Mr. Bowden, then Mr. Robbins.
Well, I'm going in the opposite direction of Mr. Tankard, certainly. We can adopt something less restrictive. So if we did decide to go with the 15% reduction in lieu of authority, that's something we can do without advertising? Or is that something that needs to be advertised? I seriously think we need to look at it. You have people, Merle has done a dismal job. They never passed any of the steps, basically. They never restricted license. We have people home there that's full-time working watermen. It's going to be limited to 75. And the fellow from Merlin, 2 foot over the line in Chincoteague Bay, can have 400.
The answer to your question is yes.
Okay. And then I want to address this while we're at it. I mean, you know, that'd be like saying if Mr. Tankard gets stopped for speeding on the way home today, they take his license away. And the answer would be no. And you have a very fast car to stop. You have intentions of speeding, and you wouldn't like that same scenario. And I think, you know, there's a different degree of violation. Somebody could have 11 grabs, and you're like 10. Well, then that would be, and that was probably somebody who was making a serious effort. If that person had 50 under size grabs in that basket, that was somebody certainly circumventing the law. So you'd have to choose which laws you think would really apply. I mean, you know, if somebody's doing something grievous, I don't think none of us have full-time work would have problems with it. But by just making that statement, one thing, one size doesn't fit all. I know you've seen those shirts before. They come to my waist and to your knee.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just going to offer some more background further to Rob's comments on the issue of culpability and the question that Mr. Tankard raised about possibly tightening that up. And just very quickly, the issue that came before CMAQ was basically fact that we really don't have equitable standards for license holders and agents. Specifically, right now, if a licensee has two blue crab violations within one season, then they're automatically brought before us for a license revocation hearing. And at that point, we can consider the facts and take action. By contrast, an agent who's out there isn't held to that same standard. And so there was a desire on that level to establish some degree of equity between the two so that people are treated consistently. And then also to raise the issue of the license holder, possibly having them come in for a license revocation hearing so that there's a heightened level of responsibility surrounding this issue of agency. So that was some of the background, and I hope that's helpful.
I guess the question, if I could, on the culpability aspect, the agent that commits two violations triggers the actual license holder coming in for a license revocation. Has that been cleared with the Attorney General's office as far as legality is concerned?
Well, Jack has had some communication.
You have?
I would think it has.
We've had some discussion with Paul.
I just want to make sure because there are certain things, no such thing as a conspiracy and a misdemeanor. But, as an accessories after the fact, before the fact, because that's what you are, basically, is you're an accessory to the violation of the law. I just want to, and I know there are certain ways you can attach it. Example, somebody driving a truck, it's a couple of violations, and the company doesn't pay the violation, the company's suspended from conducting business. So I just want to make sure, when we go debate that tendril of culpability, that we're on good, solid legal grounds.
The first question that CMAQ had for Carl was, if an officer finds an agent who's violated the law, and in addition to writing a summons to the agent, can he go find the license holder himself and write him a summons for the same violation? And the answer was exactly your point. No, he can't. Unless you can prove some conspiracy between the two to violate the law. which would be virtually impossible. The next question was, can we, if the agent violates the law to some standard, can we bring the license holder in for a revocation hearing? And Carl's response was, yes, if you amend your regulations to set up that procedure and place licensees on notice that this can happen.
And there are examples. For example, allowing an unlicensed person to operate a motor vehicle, although you're not operating a motor vehicle, you're allowing an activity to occur, is the same connection. But I just want to make sure that we're straight as possible. Yeah. Okay. I guess we're at the point now where we need to take some action as far as advertising for public hearing. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a little bit more background as it related to the CMAQ discussion and before we go out to advertise.
Okay.
I just wanted to raise a couple of points, and there would be slight changes to what's before us, but last year we did hit, or this year rather, we did hit the conservation target. And we did that with the existing 2008 gear reductions, which were 15% reduction of gear. Rob spoke about the issue of reducing capacity and the fact that, we, in the long term, we do need to reduce capacity. I agree with that wholeheartedly, but, we are proposing right now at the federal level or through the federal aid to hopefully have some sort of buyback program in place, and that would allow us to make substantial reductions in capacity that would really, I think, strengthen the long-term prospects of managing the fisheries. So for those reasons and the fact that we are trying to maintain conservation neutrality before we see the winter dredge survey results, I think it would be appropriate to include another option in here, and that would be to reduce hard crab pots by 15% to 20% per license in addition to the option that you have there for 30%. Finally, under item number 7, I think a second option would be helpful on this issue of culpability. CMAQ's intent was to establish equity between how people are treated, whether they're an agent or a license holder. And so to that point, I think we should add a second option under item 7, and that would be with respect to the agent, where we would say, or the agent would be required to be summoned for a license revocation hearing in the event that they had two blue crab conservation violations in a 12-month period. Because right now what's being proposed to advertise is to revoke their ability to participate as an agent. That's actually stronger than what we have on the books for a license holder.
Technically, I do not believe that you can revoke the license without an appearance before the commission under 28.2232. The lawyer's not here, but I believe you're exactly right. I believe anybody's license that's revoked has to be revoked by the commission, because the courts don't do that in seafood violations.
Okay. And if I may, finally, the CMAQ, there is not support for a season closure at the CMAQ level. Certainly at the commission level, we've been discussing trying to restore the length of the season and establish that as a priority. So I would think that would be a least preferred alternative at the very least. But I understand the staff wants to keep the option in there for purposes of analysis and discussion at the next meeting, and may look at some one-week closures or things like that might be combined with bushel limits. But I can just tell you from where I sit, I would not support that unless we faced an adverse result out of the winter dredge survey when we see it next month. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I would offer a motion to advertise the 8 items that staff has suggested, together with the 2 amendments that I offered, which would be under item 4, a second option to reduce hard crab pots by 15% to 20% per license, and a second option under item 7 to require a summonsing and appearance before the commission for a license revocation hearing by an agent if he has 2 violations in a 12-month period.
Before I ask for a second, did you have point
yes,
of clarification?
A couple things. The staff recommendation is up on the screen. And the 8 points, I mean, really, that is a rehash or a recap of 2008. Regulations already contain everything in the plan for 2009, except for the culpability issue and the bushel season combination issue. Everything else is already in regulation, including the 30% reduction. So that would be the first of 3 items Mr. Robbins mentioned, the 15% to 20%, that would have to be advertised because it's different than what's in regulation already. The culpability one, I wasn't sure where that ended. The way it is now, it's strictly a permit system, essentially. The agent is allowed to hold the license, as in other fisheries, and the crabbing license as well, the CFRL and the crabbing license. So he doesn't have a license, and I thought I heard, Mr. Robbins, thought I heard you say to for a license revocation for the agent.
What I, as I read 232, I think it's fishing license or rights to fish.
Okay.
Y'all continue discussion. Well, Chairman,
I think if you let me withdraw my motion. And
absolutely.
And that would be to advertise staff's recommendation together with an option that would reduce hard crab class by 15 to 20% per license from the original
2007
original license amount on hard crab class. And I think we've already clarified here through the discussion what we're after on the agency. That is that we're seeking equitable treatment. So I think you can wordsmith that as you advertise. But I would offer that as a motion.
Okay. Thank you.
Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Rob.
Yes, sir.